there is a revelation.
I'm saying a possession of a spiritual reality,
something that is real in the environment of the Holy Ghost. You can possess it.
Revival Hub International is a fellowship of believers with a desire to establish the kingdom of our Lord through the intense working of the Holy Spirit.
Let men that speak, speak as the oracles of the living God. Men that have touched the cause.
This message by God's servant Apostle Dudich will bring you quickening and transformation by the Holy Spirit.
I just got a song in my heart as I was preparing, so I want us to sing it a few times. I have a God who never fails. I have a God who never fails. I have a God who never fails. Who never fails. Who will never fail. Forevermore, I serve a God
who never fails.
Are you sure? I serve a God
who never fails.
I serve a God
who never fails.
Who never fails. Who never fails. Praise God, Jesus never fails. Praise God,
Jesus never fails.
Praise God,
Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Forevermore.
Sometimes you need to remind yourself, praise God,
Jesus never fails.
Praise God,
Jesus never fails.
Praise God,
Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails.
I know it. I know it. I want us to look at the promises of God. So, my brothers did a good work some days ago, but I just want to say one or two things. What is a promise? Okay. This is what I defined it to be. A promise is a gift. Are you there? A promise is a gift graciously bestowed. I want you to take note of the words. It is a gift that is graciously bestowed. And then, coming downwards, what does it mean for God to promise? What is God's promise? Okay. There is the promise and then there's God's promise. Okay. So God's promise are virtually obligations that God imposes upon himself. Now, remember I said the promise is a gift that is virtual, that is graciously bestowed, okay? But the promises of God is the obligations that he imposes upon himself, the obligations that he bestows upon himself to fulfill. And then to us, it is a gift that is bestowed. Are we getting it? But then to God, it is an obligation that he does what? He imposes upon himself. So, I want us to go in this direction. God made a promise to Abraham, because that's where we're going to start from. But then before God made that promise to Abraham, he made a covenant with Abraham. And if you read a few of these things, you realize that most promises, when there is a covenant, there are promises that come with it. Okay? For every covenant, there is a promise that comes with it. So, God made a covenant with Abraham. And that covenant that God made with Abraham, he had a few promises that he made to Abraham on the basis of the covenant that he made with him. So, out of covenant comes promises. That's what I'm trying to say. So, when God made a covenant with Abraham, he promised him a few things. And because of those promises that he made, it is the assurance of Abraham that God was going to keep his covenant. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So, please, I want us to be responding, because we are going to do a few Bible reading and stuff, just to create a form of foundation. So there is a covenant. Are we there? And then there is a promise that God made from that covenant unto Moses, which we are going to read now. So promises come from covenant. Now, I wrote something here. Biblical covenants are established on the basis of a divine sanction. What do I mean? That they are established not on the foundation of promises made by equal parties, but on the foundation of a divine promise of God. What I'm trying to say is that in biblical covenants, now outside the Bible, covenants are made by two persons. Me and probably this brother, we cut a covenant. Are you there? And then he makes a promise and I make a promise. That's how it happens normally. But then in biblical covenant, it is God that makes the promises. It is God that is promising you. And because why that situation is like that is because generally it is, you can't cut a covenant with God and keep it. You don't have that capacity. So he's the one, and even if you promise him something, he's still the one that can make you keep your promise. So when God makes a covenant, when there is actually a biblical covenant God made with a man, he promises, he makes the promises. So we are going somewhere. Please follow me. Let me read it again. Biblical covenants are established on the basis of a divine sanction. And that is to say that they are established not on the foundation of promises made by the equal parties, but on the foundation of a divine promise of God by himself. In biblical covenant, it is God who declares the terms and makes the words, the promises. Please follow me. I want us to go somewhere. God is the one that makes the terms. When God wants to cut a covenant with you, he tells you the terms of the covenant. He makes the promise to you, and all you have to do is to just accept it. I've told you why. I told you why, because it is not in, you cannot make a covenant with God and keep, you don't have that capacity. So it is by his immutability that he promises you, and it is on the basis of that unchangeableness that you will be assured that he will not change his mind. A man can tell you that he will do this thing, he will change his mind. So you cannot be sure. If it is a covenant between you and your friend, you people can decide that, okay, what we are going to do is, we are going to make a covenant, tell me what you do for me, and I'll decide I will change my mind tomorrow. But if it is God that made that covenant with you, he's the underlying factor. He makes sure that that covenant lasts from generation to generation because it is him. So, we are going to hurry from here because they've said a lot about this 2 days ago. So, we are going to read a scripture. Genesis chapter 12. From verse 1. Now the Lord, are we there? Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. Afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass, when the sun went down, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. Are you taking note of what happened? Abraham brought a few things and kept it. Is it not true? And he cut it in the midst and set it in the arrangement that he was supposed to set it. And what happened in the evening? A torch and a flaming and a smoking furnace, a burning lamp and a smoking furnace passed through it. In this situation, you can likely say that it was God. Because I don't want to explain covenant. Let me just mind my business. But I just want to bring out something from here. I'm trying to say that God was the one that passed through those things he sacrificed. It was him trying to prove to Abraham that that thing that he presented to him, he's the one that is going to be responsible for it. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm the one responsible for this thing I want to promise you now. So, because you have caught an animal in the midst, I am the one that is shortening this covenant by myself. So, he passed through the midst of those things that were caught with as a smoking furnace and a burning lamp. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river of Euphrates, the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Cadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Raphaimites and the Amorites and the Kenites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. Now, I read this scripture so that we realize that there was a covenant between God and Abraham, and there were promises that God made to him. Let's read verse 54. I don't want us to read that full chapter. Let's just read verse 54. We still have a lot of scriptures to read. And he had opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Now, before we enter the explanation of this thing, I want to say something. God made a covenant with Abraham. And then if you notice, God did not just tell, he was not just talking to Abraham. He made an extension to Abraham's seed. And just not that, he promised him he will be a great nation, he will be a father of nations, nations shall come out of him, and the possession of land and all of these things. But then those promises were not just for Abraham. God was trying to paint a picture through Abraham. He was trying to bring... I don't want to go further than I should, but what God was trying to do was that God was trying to make Abraham a father. He was trying to make it such that out of Abraham, other persons that are born out of him can be partakers of what he has promised him. So, this covenant with Abraham was not just about Abraham. God was trying to reach out beyond Abraham because he needed a lineage for the plan of redemption that he had. Now, this thing I'm saying is not just about Abraham. This thing began from Adam. You know that God has been seeking for a seed. Am I correct? So God had been charting a path from Adam. And then he came and then he promised Noah and all of that and came down to Abraham. And then when he looked at Abraham, he told Abraham something and Abraham accepted the word of God. It was on the basis of his obedience, that obedience that he made of the word of God, that made God judge him enough to become a father of nations. God saw something about the heart of the man. That's what I'm trying to say. He believed at that time when there was no possibility of trusting in what. Who is just walking upon the road and somebody tell you, I promise you, I will just come out from your father. You're in your father's house now. Who should I use for example? And then you hear, leave your house now. You know, if you're saying this thing, you don't understand. Say, stand up, you stand up. Leave from your father's house and go to a place that I will show you. Bring it down to your context. You don't know where you are going. Just carry your bag. Pack from your father's house. And you need to know that this man was a heathen. It's not as if he was a believer. But God was trying to create a nation. He was trying to make something. There was a plan of redemption that he had. And if you notice, all the time from Adam, people had always failed him. So all that while, God has been looking for one man. One man that will give him an opportunity to produce seeds from his loins. So God saw Abraham and he decided, let me try this guy. And as much as it could have been possible that there were people that were probably, I don't know if they knew God that much, but I know Noah said one or two things around that time. But God had to search for a man in a hidden nation and told him, leave your father's house. Pack everything, your wife, your children, just go to a land that I will show you. And this man, I know he was old because in those days they lived too long. And an old man lifted his family from their place and started going around. So he took his family and he took them and he said, when his wife asked him, where are we going? He said, there is a land the Lord will show me. How is this sounding in your ear? He said, there is a land. God, somebody came to me and spoke to me. There is a land I want to show you. You need to know why this man was called a man of faith. He is a father of faith. There were a few men that would have believed God to that extent. And God said, on the basis, he came down by himself and passed through the covenant. God could not believe that somebody, that there was a man that had the possibility of accepting wholeheartedly what he wanted to do. And God decided that from this man, I will make a nation. So he promised him a lot of things. And we're going to get to that point. But I just needed to make this foundation known to us that Abraham was the template of a plan that God had in the future. That men will not see, but they will believe. So God started with Abraham. Eh? He started telling him, do this one, he will do it. Do this one, he will do it. And he brought him to that place. And then he told him, oh yeah, this is your son. Remember God had promised him that he was going to make him a great nation. And God now told him, oh yeah, bring your son, let's go and sacrifice him. Now unto Abraham, he did not know that what he was doing was a shadow of things that was to come. So he told him, bring your son, we want to go and sacrifice him. And I know many of us have heard that story a lot, but I can't even imagine it because I have a son that is named Isaac. But it's true now. Say, oh yeah, bring your son, let's take him to the mountain of God and go and sacrifice him. Ha! God of what? Eh? Hey. So he said, I don't know how he did it though. The man actually took his son. And I'm sure that Isaac knew he was sacrificed. Because usually when they go to sacrifice, they take things. Now, is it not so? But Abraham was going, he took his son and was climbing mountain. And Abraham lay, our brother was saying it yesterday, and even day before yesterday, he lay his son on that place. And he took it, and he was about to kill the guy. It's not just that he was about to. You know that thing you're about to, but you're just waiting. Let it just tell me, you don't remove your hand like this. It was never in your heart. For God to count Isaac dead, that man killed him. He killed that boy on that altar. Already in his heart, he has sacrificed the son. So, I'm bringing us through a progression. No, please, let's follow. God was trying to paint that picture so that when he finally begins to make a nation out of Abraham, some of us will not say, why is it Abraham? You can't sacrifice your son, no. And then so many of those things that God tested him, and he said, no, Abraham. In some places in the scripture, they called Abraham a friend of God. His heart was towards God. It was not a mistake. He wanted to. He did not know this God. I need you to know that. I don't know how to explain it. Some of us are born in a Christian home. We know God from when we were small. This guy came from a hidden home. But then he kept following that voice, to that point where he told him, sacrifice his son. And then God said no. He promised him that from his seed. God told him that his son Isaac, it is in him. Now, if you listen to what the Bible reader was saying in Romans chapter 9, said it is in him that there is the promise. Because if you notice, Abraham gave birth to two sons at the end of the day. Mama was telling us the other day how the wife was persuading him, oh yeah, sleep with Hagar, sleep with Hagar, sleep with Hagar, sleep with Hagar. And then he slept with Hagar and produced a son, Ishmael. So he had two sons. And if you notice when he was speaking with God, he said, is it through this one that you want? You see that I don't have a child. That is only this one that I have. What's the name of that guy? Ishmael. God said, no. The one I want, the one that the promise, this covenant I made with you now, the bearer is upon the one that will come from your loins. So it was upon Isaac that blessing came. But then I want to make something clear to us. Just two differences. Let's read Romans chapter 9. I want us to just, we've read it already in the Bible reading. Let's just take a few chapters from it. Now, whose are the fathers? Let's read from verse 4. Who are Israelites, to whom pertained the adoption and the glory and the covenant and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Whose are the fathers, and of whom are concerning the flesh Christ came? Who is over all? God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac, are you taking note of it now? In Isaac shall thy seed be called, that is, they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, I needed to make this emphasis that it is through Isaac that this promise is coming down from. And then through Isaac, it came down to Jacob. And then the first nation that God made was Israel. Was Israel. Because it was from Jacob that the nation Israel came. Is that not so? So we are making progress. Now, I want to make two distinctions. In the promise that God made to Abraham, I want to split it into two sides, okay? There is the physical side of it and there's a spiritual implication. Please, let's take note. There's a physical implication and there's a spiritual implication, okay? So, I want us to do the physical one, but I want to start from Ishmael. Let me see if I can find that scripture. Genesis chapter 17. I hope I've not lost us, please. Okay, from verse 20. Let's read from verse 19. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him. Are you there? And I will make him fruitful. I will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget. And I will make him what? But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah bare unto thee at this set time in the next year. So I want to split this promise into two sides. Yeah? The physical part and the spiritual part. Because if you notice, these guys, the Jews boast with the relationship that they have with Abraham. Because the truth is that out of Abraham came Isaac and then Jacob and begat the nation of Israel. So they have an inheritance. They have a heritage. Just for an example, just like in your village, if they want to do a wedding, a traditional marriage, they have a list and stuff that they do according to the tradition of your village. Is it not true? Yes. These people, their own tradition came from God. Everything that they did came from God because the end of their lineage was Abraham. Are you getting what I'm saying? So they did not have anything. Their lineage has been pure from the start. So, all this why the thing was coming down and came to them. And when it came to them, they already have things, inheritances. That's why in that book of Romans he was saying, to whom are the inherit the adoption, the promises, the this one. They had a goodly heritage. Even Paul was proud of it. So they did not see any other person as something. They knew what they just had to believe in the heritage that they had, and they had possibilities available to them. Even in our life, even in Israel presently now, there are things that they believe, and it's still working for them. Because of that inheritance that they have via Abraham, they have a heritage that they just have to believe that I'm a son of Abraham. Eh? I need to tell us one of, let's pick it one after the other. One of them is the blessing, which is a two-way statement, which can mean the Holy Ghost, which is the Holy Ghost. And then the part I'm coming from is the part of wealth. Abraham was a wealthy man. I'm talking about the inheritances of the lineage of Abraham in the flesh. Eh? They did not lack. Abraham's household was fit to be an army. That when they went to war with those kings, it was his servants. But Pastor Chimobi was telling us the other day, it was his servants that he split and he sent them to war, and they came back and they won. And if you read that chapter, you will realize that at some point, the king of Sodom wanted to give him. He said, no, don't give me anything. Let it not be said that any man made Abraham rich. Because already, God had blessed him enough. He was a wealthy man in the flesh, a very wealthy guy. He had sheep, cattle, things. This is the heritage. God had already adopted them as his own. So they cannot be poor. Now, if you check, it's not just Christianity that has Abraham as father. Yes. Many other guys have Abraham as father. And if you notice, they are not they know how to engage that lineage, and they are wealthy. Am I lying? A lot of these religions, they did not remove Abraham from that equation. Even this other son of Abraham, Ishmael, you saw the promise. It does not matter. God had already made the promise. And I told you that God cannot fail. He is the one that promised. So it's not as if Abraham, he's the one. It is on the strength of his immutability that he made that promise. So as long as Ishmael is existing, he will be rich. That's how strong the heritage of Abraham was. It was that strong that even though Ishmael was not the child of the covenant, the other one that you would say was not he has inheritances that he can pipe into. You need to go to some of these United Arab Nations. It's the heritage of Abraham, brothers and sisters. Why is it that we that own the thing? We are coming there. Because we need to know, Pastor Victor was telling us that there's a way to enter these things. This topic has sparked a curiosity. I've not really taken, I don't know how to explain it to you, but as soon as I started studying it, I realized that this is what we know that we don't know yet. He says, let's read Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. We'll read a few scriptures, then we'll continue. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. Okay, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Genesis 13, verse 2. Please, let's go quickly. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Genesis 13, the same Genesis 13, 14 to 17. And God said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. You need to see yourself here. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto you. Let's pray 1 minute. You need to see the land that God is giving you. You need to walk through the length and the breadth of it. Walk in it in your spirit. We are going to tears. Eastward, westward, northward, southward. I walk through the length of and breadth of the land. I possess it. In Jesus' name. He said, he should lift up his eyes. That this, I think there was a scripture that called Abraham the possessor of heaven and earth. Am I? Yes. It means that God bequeathed that inheritance to Abraham. God is the possessor of Abraham, but he said, Abraham, you are the possessor of heaven and earth. God is the possessor of heaven and earth. He said, Abraham, you are the possessor of heaven and earth. So that the people that will come from your loins will be possessors of heaven. Brothers and sisters, we have an inheritance. We need to go to the second part. I just wrote out three so that we can run. Fruitfulness or multiplication. Genesis 17. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful. And I will make nations of thee. And kings shall come out of thee. There's no barrenness in this inheritance, brothers and sisters. I needed to talk about this one. I mean barrenness in the physical. I mean barrenness as in barrenness. There's no barrenness in that inheritance. Why will you be looking for a child? Why? These other guys, from the lineage of Ishmael, they give birth to 10, 15. Am I lying now? They give birth, they circulate, they fill the entire place with children. It means there is something that these guys know of the blessings that God gave to Ishmael that we don't know of Isaac. And he did not just say that you'll be fruitful. He says kings. They are a kind of children you will give birth to. Kings will come out of you. Don't settle for less. So it's a lie. Whoever told you is a lie. The person lied to you. I'm not talking about the inheritance of Isaac in the spiritual. This is just an inheritance in the physical that men that know how to navigate their lineage are partakers of already. So that if you get married tomorrow, you must give birth. It's your inheritance. It's your inheritance. You need to believe it and labor with it. The first thing you need to do is to believe it. You know, he could not give her a child. He needed to make a statement from that woman. That whoever the blessing is upon, who did Isaac later become? Don't allow Satan deceive you. You have an inheritance even in the flesh. Let's look at the third one. Possessing the gates of the enemies. Which you can call preservation, but is possessing the gate of the enemies. Genesis 22:17. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. If you've not seen it before, I've seen it even in the actual Israel of now. Israel has taken lands. They are surrounded by their enemies, I hope you know. I mean all round, literally now. But every single time they come against them, they will not just win them, they will collect their land. So it's not just in the scripture it happened. I heard of a war, a six-day war. I was telling somebody, they fought that war for 6 days. I mean in this real life Israel. It's not Bible, I'm not telling you Bible. That's where you know that the God of Israel is still alive. Eh? They won that war in 6 days. They took them from the air, from the land, from the sea. They took them all over. Because what is winning their war is not just, it's not just the equipment they have. They have a God of Israel. So that anything, I used to say, anybody that is fighting Israel, you are not just fighting a nation. That nation is God's own. So as much as we, the partakers of that inheritance, we are God's possession. So that any nation that is fighting us is fighting God. And it means that anything that we stretch out for, we can possess it. We possess the gate of the enemies. It's not that they will be fighting for what they took from us. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's the gates of the enemies. You go there and take it. But it's our own they are dragging. It's a lie.
It's a lie.
Let's pray again. 1 minute. 1 minute, brothers and sisters. I possess. What has the enemy taken from me? I have an inheritance. Where all my possessions are insured in God. Where all my possessions can be taken back. Satan, you don't have a right over my inheritance. You don't have a right over anything that belongs to me. Because what belongs to me belongs to God. I'm a child of God. I'm a nation of God. I'm a property that God owns. Papilata. If they are taking anything from you, it's time to take it back now. You need to take it back. I take it back. I take it back. Oh my God. The promise is that I will possess the gates of the enemies. Oh my God, brothers, 1 minute, 1 minute. Take it back now. Take it back, take it back. Take it back. It's your inheritance. Wow. Here, 30 seconds, brother, take it back, take it back, bow, be up here, I'm a seed of Abraham, oh my God, I'm a seed of Abraham, it is
is pertinent. Appear.
In Jesus' name. We're going to look at the spiritual one now. Let's see Genesis chapter 22 again. Let's read verse 18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, there are many other scriptures that we have read that have, there's a specificity to this thing. He said in thy seed. It means it's one. Is it not true? He did not say in thy seeds. He said in thy seed. And then you realize that that promise was by Isaac. And if you trace the genealogy, you realize that even Christ came from that lineage. So when Jesus was making the promise to the seed, it was not just about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was speaking about something that was going to come. And he was speaking about Jesus Christ. Yeah? So, when he was making the blessing in Abraham, he foresaw, it was like a prophecy of the coming of the Christ. Are you with me? So, he was prophesying that there is a seed, that it is in that seed that the families of the earth will be blessed. Because I told you that these guys had this inheritance of the flesh via Abraham. But this promise that is now made via the seed, which is in Christ Jesus, is because of that lineage. It has the ability to exclude even those that are born in the flesh by Abraham. Are you getting what I'm saying? This particular seed now, at the time when Jesus came, anybody that does not now have a lineage via that seed that is Christ in the spirit, even though he is by flesh a seed of Abraham, he's excluded from the inheritance. So that's the lineage in the spirit. In the spirit, it does not matter if he's an Israelite. If he does not know Christ, he's cut off. So they might be enjoying the experiences in the flesh, those other things that pertains to them in the flesh. But the benefit of being a child of God is that you have both the flesh and in the spirit. You can access through Christ and get the inheritance from the spirit and also via the flesh. So let's read again. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, we read from verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come towards the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through what? Good. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or added thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of what? And to thy seed, which is what? So there's another promise that was made to the seed. And that seed, what they were speaking about, now went beyond Isaac and Jacob. He was speaking about Christ. So it means that he had charted out another lineage from Abraham to another generation of persons that, even though they are not born in the flesh by Abraham's lineage, as they would call them, the Gentiles, it included them. And that was what Paul spoke about as the mystery of God, because he brought those that were not a line. You know, Paul was a very strict Jewish man. He probably did not see the possibility that I told you they exalted that their birth. You know, it's not an easy thing to be born from that lineage. Like this, we are doing traditional marriage. The only marriage those people know is church wedding. Are you getting what I'm saying? You're not getting what I'm saying. I mean that if they want to do wedding, their tradition is church marriage. Are you getting it? So their lineage is pure. You don't get what I'm saying. So they didn't believe. Are you getting it? They didn't believe that any other person can be included in that sacred thing that they had. So God needed to shock them, because they did not know that that promise was made to all the families of the earth. As many of the people that will come in, when God was making that promise, and even unto them that were Israelites, they did not see the possibility that it could go beyond them. But God, when he was saying the promise, he was, you know, God does not talk anyhow. He was making exact statements, so that it will include you and I that is sitting down here now, even our children that we will give birth to. So he said, and to thy seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So Christ became the including factor of adding you and I into that inheritance. And when you receive Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you are cut off from your lineage. Pastor Victor was saying it the last time. You need to understand it. That's why I had to come down this route. You think you are doing church wedding because I know you're a Christian, but you need to know that that is your tradition now. You need to know that even normally, you are now of a different lineage. You come from somewhere else. That even if you are the child of, I don't know, Uche, eh? Son of Uche, eh? That when you gave your life to Christ, they grafted you. They took you and joined you to another person. They added you to the son of Abraham. Because what God wanted to do was to bring many into adoption. That's what he was speaking about when he was speaking about the seed, when he was promising Abraham. And Jesus was the firstborn amongst the people that were going to be adopted into the lineage of Abraham. So he made Jesus a template of what he wanted to achieve in every one of us. So that even if you are from England, even if you are not a Nigerian, you are from Portuguese, you have an inheritance in Christ from all tribes, nations. The Revelation was speaking, and he said, I saw a multitude that was gathered from all the nations and tribes. It means that God used Christ to gather everybody, as many as believes in God, into a nation of God, so that each and every one of us from the different places that we come, we are God's inheritance. We are God's nation. It's no more just about the Israel of that example that they were given in the Old Testament. We are the living Israel. We are the Israel of God. Thank you. Romans chapter 15. What I came to do this evening is just to open your eye. You need to really go home and take a few studies here, because you don't know how much you have. Even if it's not just Bible, go and read history. You'll be shocked, though. You don't, as you're sitting here now, believe me, you don't know that you're not from your father's house. If you know it, if you know that you're an Abraham's son, there's something it will do to your mind. Romans chapter 15, from verse 8 to 9. For I say that Jesus was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. For it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. This is just another scripture confirming what I just said. Do you even know that even in Christ, Now, there's the inheritance that we have in Abraham, but in Christ, there is a riches that is available in Christ now, that we are also partakers of. So we have an abundance of inheritance. This is the inheritance that came to us by God now. The riches, the things that we partake in as being from Christ. So God was not just carelessly saying things. He knew what he wanted to achieve. Look at what I wrote here. Let me read it. The mystery of the gospel is that everyone can share in the promise in Christ. It's the mystery of the gospel. I told you, these guys did not see it coming. They didn't believe that there was somebody else that can do anything. That it is only for them. It's them. It's their own. Now, I'm saying, even if there is an Israelite that does not know this thing I'm saying, he will just be a wealthy man and be experiencing one or two things. There is an inheritance of God that he will not have. Now, let's go to the next subtopic, please. The principle of faith in the promise. The principle of faith in the promise. Genesis 15. From verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and it was counted it, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Let's read Galatians 3. Please, I told you we are going to read a lot of scriptures. Galatians chapter 3. From verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, they which are of what? The same are the children of God. And then let's read verse 14. Let's read to 9. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through what? Are we there? Galatians chapter 3, we are in verse 8 now. And the scripture, foreseeing that God will justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying what? So then they which be of faith are blessed with what? So there was something that Abraham had. I told us in the beginning, it was faith. Is that not so? So the way to enter the thing, God still made it about faith. In fact, I don't think you can separate this topic from faith. Because that's the access point. It is by faith that we access these promises. Because the person that caught the promise was what? He was a faithful Abraham. That's what the scripture said. So, you cannot assess what a faithful Abraham assessed by your own belief. It's not going to come for you now. He said, faithful Abraham assessed it by faith. He now said, so that they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So there is the principle of faith in the promise. There is no other way to assess that thing, that package, those promises, even the ones in the natural too. As much as you don't believe it, the only reason why those people assess those things physically is because they believe it. And to them, it's just a basic level of believing. But for us, we are digging deeper now into the spiritual faith to be able to assess the spiritual promise of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? So there is the faith that gives you access. We can say this thing for 1 week and finish saying it, and you don't believe it. And you are a son of Abraham. Heaven and earth knows it. Even Satan that is attacking you knows it. But you don't know it. But then when you have faith in that promise, knowing that you have a lineage, that's the principle that sets off the equation. That's what makes it start to work. Eh? That's what brings the problem. That's what brings the blessing. That's what I'm trying to say. And that's what we've been saying from the beginning. I will not doubt it if there is somebody that is still sitting down here that has not believed it. Believing is just not affirmation. I hope you know. It's in the heart. Because it's that one that is in your heart that is, even though your mouth is saying something else, sometimes it's that one in your heart. So that you are the son of a, you are the son, you are the daughter of Abraham, a faithful man. And you now, having risen up as a child of faith, now you need to know that Abraham that had faith in God, according to Hebrews chapter 11, many of them, the scripture says they did not see those things happen in their time. They had a faith that they did not see the end. But we now, there are some of these promises that we are seeing the end. We just need to have faith so that it will come. But Abraham had faith for something he did not see coming. He just had a promise. For you, you have a promise now which has an end. And you don't have faith yet. You have faith. We are still, we need to beg you to have faith. There's a principle of faith in the promise. And we are going somewhere, but I need to emphasize this one first. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. He staggered not. Let's read it from be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope. You are not reading that scripture. I've given us the picture of this thing. There was no Sarah, how old was she? You need to read the Bible not as a Bible story. There's the man, the woman was old for God's sake. There was no possibility that she will have a child. When the angel came and said this, she was laughing inside her room. She said, these people don't understand. Yeah? Just like my mother now. My mother is even young. My mother is young. Who do I use for example? You see an obvious old woman, they say this woman will give birth. It did not sound possible to them. But even when Abraham was supposed to sacrifice his son, he did not see the rescue coming. But the scripture says, who against hope believed in hope? I told you these guys, most of them didn't see the promise. They didn't see it come to pass. But they held on to the promise that God gave them. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations? You don't have child. They say you're father of many nations. But you don't have child though. But somebody came and told you you're a father of many nations. According to that which is spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not say Sarah's womb. He said he had died. He did not do what? Let's read verse 20 together. We don't stagger. We are even the one that God has promised us now, we are staggered a lot. God promised you in 50 days. We have been staggering since. I remember that day Papa spoke about faith. Some of us receive promises. What is the state of your heart now about that promise? Small thing now, you have depressed. Between that faith and now, you have entered depression once. You have been staggering. But he said, this guy, he didn't see the end of the promise. You are not getting it.
But he did not stagger at that promise. You know why? But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. See, we need to respect what these guys had. We need to respect what they had. Eh? Who is it that you are a child of a pastor? For God's sake, this guy was a heathen. He did not stagger. He did not doubt it. He said he was giving glory to God for something that is a finished work. Eh? The reason why it is faith is because you first believe that the work has already been finished in God. Yes, that's why Abraham could not stagger. Because what he saw was a finished work in God. He just believed the finished work. So when he's thinking about it, he knew it has ended in God. He just believed the promise. He said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was struck, oh God. Let me not stagger. See, I know the Lord has told me a lot of things. I don't know about you. But God has told me some stuff that even me, I don't know how it's going to be. I was praying in the evening. I know you think I was praying about you. Mary said to the angel, how shall these things be? He said, the Holy Ghost. There are things that God has said. There are promises God has said. There are things he has spoken about. I'm not seeing it with this my eye. But help me, Holy Ghost. I don't want to stagger. What kind of faith did these fathers have? What kind of faith? What kind of faith? That seeing not, they believed. Some of us, we need to see before we believe. That's how fleshly we are. If God says he will do it, you just cry. Yes! The faith of our fathers. What kind of faith did they have? What kind of faith did they have in the promise that they did not see the end of it? You promised me. I believe the promise. A poor. Jesus' name. Let's enter the next subheading. The faithfulness of God. I told you before that the promise of God to Abraham was not about Abraham. It was about God. And so is the promise of God to you. It's not about you. It's about God. There's something I need to show us about the faithfulness of God. Okay.
I have a God who never fails. I serve a God who never fails. I serve a God who never fails. Who never fails. Who will never fail. Forevermore. I serve a God who never.
I know it. I know he will not fail.
I serve a God. I serve a God who never fails. Who will never fail forever. Brethren, praise God.
Does not fail. Eh? I know we are just singing it, but you need to know where this song. I don't know. God, even if I don't believe now, I've seen God keep his promise in my life. I've seen God keep it. And that's what I'm about to show us. God is faithful. You need to know. That's the bedrock of believing the promise. That's what makes us so staggering. Because you know that God is faithful. Do you know it? Do you know it? It will strengthen your heart. God is faithful. Even if, but sisters, God will give you your husband. You know when we are saying some of these things, it's looking. I'm not just coming from this. I know that there are things God told you that man we have, he will have it. I know there is a kind of man God promised you, he will come. Brothers, there is a business that God told you. There is a promise he told you. Unless if he did not say it. He is a faithful God. Our fathers proved him. They proved the strength of what he was saying. And even though they did not even see it, they still believed in the faithfulness of God. It cannot come in my time and fail. It's a lie. I know that God cannot fail. Why will I doubt it? Why will I doubt it? He has done before. Why will he not do again? He's a faithful God. Let's read Hebrews chapter 6. Let's read from verse 16. He said, "For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing, more abundantly," are you following me now? wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. He wants to, God needed to prove to you that this is counsel, is immutable, it cannot be shaken. If God opened his mouth and said it, his name is on it. I believe it, he cannot fail it, because it's his name, it's his name. He said he confirmed it by an oath. Let's read it. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. I say it's impossible for God to lie. This oath that God took, he took it by himself. Because the scripture says, being that there was none greater, is it not so? He swore by himself. Eh? He did not swear by Ogugu, by himself, by his own strength. He swear, I will do this thing. God is faithful, brothers and sisters. It's impossible for him to lie. It will delay because Satan wants to know if you will doubt, if you will stagger. And God also wants to know how much you believe in what you are saying. But even if it tarries, your faith needs to hold that God is faithful. He that has promised can keep his promise. He's not like my father. My father will tell you he will buy, he will not buy anything. Sometimes it's because of the situations around him, of course. But God does not have any situation around him. If he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. I'm speaking to many of us sitting down here. Situation of life have made you doubt what God told you. But if God is God, he will keep his word. Genesis chapter 15. We are going to read this verse and we will pray. Because I don't want to take our time. Let's just do one. Genesis chapter 15. Let's read from verse 7. As much as I want us to read this scripture now, but let's just go down to verse 17, which is my emphasis. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp passed between those pieces. I believe you, oh God. Let my eyes see the strength of the Almighty, the possibilities of the unfailing God, and let my heart believe. Brothers and sisters, oh, I have a God who never fails. I serve a God who never fails. Who never fails. He will never fail. Don't reset. Fire tears. Doubt. promise. Promises of God by unbelief. We need to ask the Holy Ghost to speak again. This time, I will believe. I believe it. There are things that God is going to say again. We need to ask Him to say again. We promise that you believe it. In 1 minute. If you have a promise that you have not believed, reclaim it now. Reclaim it now. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh!
cast your offering and your tithe. We meet again next week, 5 p.m. on Tuesday.
We believe God's word came to you in accuracy and power. To connect to the ministry of God's servant, Apostle Edu Udechukwu, send us a message on WhatsApp via the number +234 813 007 4040 or email at revivalhopglobal@gmail.com. To access transforming messages and partner with us, visit our website at www.revivalhopinternational.org. Follow us on all our social media platforms at Revival Hub International and on YouTube at Apostle Edu Udechukwu. God bless you.